coming up on this week's mini episode of the Broken Brain Podcast.
The reason that you're meditating is for the other, 23 hours or, 23 and a half hours in your day. You're not meditating for that moment. That's not where the dividends show up in your life.
Hi, everyone. I'm Drew Pruitt, host of the Broken Brain Podcast. If there was something you could do every day to boost your focus and productivity, feel energized, reduce stress, sleep better, maintain a positive outlook, and support whole body health, wouldn't you do it? In this week's mini episode of the podcast, I speak with Megan Monahan, Emily Fletcher, and Light Watkins, all three of my dear friends, about the common myths about meditation, the science of meditation and how it impacts the brain, and how to bring meditation into your life in a practical and tangible way. Let's listen in, starting with my interview with my dear friend, Megan Monahan, a certified Chopra meditation teacher and author of Don't Hate, Meditate.
So the number one thing that I hear, and all of you come up to me or you spiritually slide into my DMs and you think that you're going to get out of meditating by saying to me, "Hey, Megan, I tried to meditate. I tried to stop my thoughts. I tried to silence my mind and I just can't do it. So thanks, but I can't do it." And I will happily retort with, as long as you have a pulse, you're going to have thoughts. Meditation is not about stopping your thoughts and silencing your mind. I don't know who created that soundbite, but it has just been haunting all of us teachers forever and ever and ever at this point. So be really okay with the fact that you're going to have thoughts in meditation. I like to say that meditation is, it's almost like eavesdropping. So, if you can recall a time when you were in public, remember when that happened, and we would, be overhearing a conversation. Maybe you're in a restaurant, maybe you're on a train, maybe you're just out in the world and you overhear a conversation. Most of the time, you're not going to jump into a stranger's conversation and input your thoughts, right? Because that would be strange. That's kind of like what meditation is. Meditation is when you get to start taking a step back and just eavesdropping on the activity, eavesdropping on your own thoughts, eavesdropping on sounds that you can hear or physical sensations in your body. And it's just creating that space between you and that activity and practicing doing that while you're meditating and then taking that sort of mental strength, that awareness outside of meditation and putting that into practice when you're in your waking state. But meditation is not about stopping your thoughts. Number one thing that I hear. So if that's your excuse, sorry, you have to meditate right now. The other thing that people say to me a lot, and it'll happen after class or after I'm like with a client or whatever it is, they'll say, "Oh, that was a really good one." And I always stop them and just reframe that a bit, because I think we have this expectation that it should feel really relaxing, that we should have some insight, that we should maybe have some aha moment, that maybe we have some clarity, maybe we feel a deep sense of stillness that we have access to all of a sudden, that there are these very cool meditation-y, very technical term, moments that you can have when you meditate. And it's cool when those happen. If any of those things I just described show up, if you see colors, if you, feel a connection to yourself, that's really dope. And those meditations are really fun. But that meditation is just as good as the meditation that I did this morning where my fire alarm went off in the middle. They're equally good. One was just more fun. One was more enjoyable. The only bad meditation is the one that you don't do. So I think the other myth that I would kind of dispel is that nothing needs to happen for it to work in the moment. You just have to do it. Not unlike working out. If I go out for a run, there will be days when I am running and 2 minutes in, it feels like I have never run before in my life. And it's so laborious and painful. And then I have the days where I feel like I could run a half marathon. Both of those runs were equally beneficial. I just liked one of them more.
So you're basically advocating for the removal of judgment on a meditation.
Yes. Let go of the expectation.
Because what happens, so to just push it a little bit, what happens when we do say that was a good one, or somebody says, "Oh man, I really needed that. That was a good one." What's the fear or what's the concern when somebody judges a meditation as good or bad?
So number one, I think with any kind of judgment, it stops being a neutral place for you. And I think one of the biggest blessings of meditation is that it's this kind of neutral landscape that you get to rest in. So I think if you have an expectation, there's already a sense of meaning that you're applying to it that isn't going to serve you. And then I think you set yourself up to almost have an out, which I'm not a fan of. I think we should all meditate every day for the rest of our lives. So if you have, you know, a string of meditations where it doesn't feel great and you're kind of antsy, or where you hear the leaf blower every time, or where the dog is bothering you, then all of a sudden, oh, it's not going well, I'm going to stop doing this.
Yeah, it's the fear that, well, not so much the fear, but it's more just sort of paying attention to, if we're so critical on each one, the time that we don't end up having, you know, what is like an enlightening moment, and then all the clouds part ways and the birds are chirping outside after a meditation, we won't continue to put in the work, was where really all the benefits come from.
Right. And then, and lastly, to just double on that point, the benefit of your meditation, for the most part, will reveal itself outside of your meditation. So, you know, I always say to people, hopefully your meditation is relaxing. You know, if you're meditating with me, I have a very soothing meditation voice. I'll put on some ambient music. It will hopefully be more relaxing than other parts of your day. But the reason that you're meditating is for the other, you know, 23 hours or, you know, 23 and a half hours in your day. You're not meditating for that moment. That's not where the dividends show up in your life.
According to Harvard Medical School, stress is an epidemic that's responsible for 90% of all doctors' visits. It's become so widespread that we accept it as normal, quote unquote, to have insomnia, digestive issues, and chronic anxiety. It's clear that stress reduction needs to be part of our personal wellness routines, and meditation is an incredibly important tool that we can utilize to support our overall health. Emily Fletcher, a leading expert in meditation for high performers, founder of Ziva Meditation and the creator of the Ziva Technique, shares with us the science of meditation and how it impacts our brain health. Give us a recap on what we know about the science of meditation and what it's actually doing to the brain.
So there's some new science coming out from Harvard Medical School suggesting that stress is responsible for 90% of all doctors' visits. 90. And this was a number that is astounding to me, even as a meditation teacher who studies stress day in and day out. And so it's this, I hope, is a shocking enough number to kind of wake people up out of this idea of, well, I don't have time to meditate. It's like, okay, how much is that sick day costing you? How much time is you getting sick costing you? What is that low-grade pain, that low-grade trauma, that low-grade stress that's just been going on in the background of your brain costing you over time? And the cool thing is that the meditation is not just about getting us out of stress. Most people have to start there, but then after a while, after a few years of practicing, we start to increase neuroplasticity, which is the brain's ability to change itself. If it's a part of all the other things we've been mentioning, it can increase neurogenesis, which is the brain's ability to generate new brain cells. And then one of the cool things that I like specifically about the Ziva technique is that the meditation portion of the Ziva technique, which P.S. is a trifecta of mindfulness, meditation, and manifesting. But the meditation piece is not about focusing. It's not about concentrating. It's not about clearing the mind. It's actually about inducing very deep healing rest. And when we do that practice, it feels very much like you're surrendering. It feels very much like a nap sitting up, but without the sleep hangover on the other side. And when you do this, when you surrender, when you let go, the whole brain starts to light up, which is different than in mindfulness. Where in mindfulness, a small part of the brain lights up, but very, very bright, because mindfulness is more about focusing, whereas this style of meditation is more about letting go or surrendering. So, point of the story is that after a few years of practicing that, you can actually strengthen the corpus callosum, which is that thin white strip between the right and left hemispheres of the brain. And that, I think, you know, is a cool party trick that you sitting quietly in a chair could actually strengthen that corpus callosum. But a lot of people think, well, why would I want that to happen? And it quite literally is the bridge between the critical mind and the creative mind. And it's the thing that allows you to come up with those witty comebacks with your partner, even in the middle of a high demand, heated conversation, or better yet, the ability to come up with a creative problem solving idea at work, even when your boss is yelling at you and you're under a deadline. And so it's just another marker of brain health.
Meditation is never about stopping your thoughts. The skill of meditation is about learning how to navigate the contours of the thinking mind so that you can move from the busy, focused thinking zone down into the blissful, settled mind zone. My good friend, Light Watkins, a Vedic meditation teacher and author, shares his EASY method, that's E-A-S-Y, meditation technique with us, which helps us form a foundation for our daily practice, making meditation feel easy and relaxing. What's the EASY technique that you outline in your book, Blissmore?
The EASY technique is an acronym for how to be passive, because telling someone just be passive with your mind is not enough detailed information. And what does that even mean? Does that mean, you know, to welcome in the happy thoughts, but then to reject all the bad thoughts, which is what people inevitably end up doing? So the EASY method is really a description for how to handle the thoughts you would naturally reject, right? Thoughts that may create anxiety, or thoughts about things that make you sad or afraid or angry or bored. And so the acronym is embrace. E is for embrace. A is for accept. S is for surrender to, and Y is for yield to. And they're basically all saying the same thing from different angles, right? In other words, whatever you're experiencing is great. That's it. You know, don't reject anything. Don't resist anything. Don't feel sorry about anything, because whatever you reject, the mind works in such a way that it's going to create more of those kinds of thoughts. And so you get the opposite of what you want. And the big secret of meditation is that the way to a quiet mind is through the very thoughts that you would normally reject. If you lean into that, if you accept them, if you embrace them, and to go further, if you can celebrate them, if you can celebrate the mind's tendency to think, then beyond that, you find the stillness that you've been looking for in meditation.
The key to succeeding in meditation is to treat all thoughts as a legitimate part of the meditating experience, regardless of the content. That's such a powerful statement. I'm just going to say it twice. The key to succeeding in meditation is to treat all thoughts as a legitimate part of the meditating experience, regardless of the content. All thoughts are welcome. Say it with me. All thoughts are welcome. The more we celebrate our thinking mind, the more transcendent and blissful our experiences will be in meditation, and consequently, the richer and more spacious our meditation experiences will become outside of mindfulness and meditation. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's mini episode of the Broken Brain Podcast. If you enjoyed it, share it with a friend, post on social media, tag me or one of our three guests featured here, Emily Fletcher, Megan Monahan, and Light Watkins. You can find their Instagram handles below. Thank you again. I'll see you next week. Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the interview. Just a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only. This podcast is not, I repeat, it's not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or otherwise qualified medical professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. If you're looking for help in your journey, seek out a qualified medical practitioner. If you're looking for a functional medicine practitioner, you can visit ifm.org and search their Find a Provider database. It's important that you have somebody in your corner that's qualified, that's trained, that's a licensed healthcare practitioner helping you make changes, especially when it comes to your health.